Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Mertzi Shabbos. Here I am, stuck in rainy Orlando. And let me see if I can continue what I was talking about yesterday about the Mantua Zohar and the big controversy around it, or at least some aspects of it. And this is being sponsored by Gnosim, the publishing house, because March 3 and March 5, I believe, which is coming up soon, they're going to have their auction. And I remember before I left from Baltimore that one of the items in there, I remember lot number 144, is indeed this Mantua Zohar. And those are the very first publication, printing, in other words, of the Zohar. And I talked the other day, yesterday, I think, about the revolutionary effects of the printing press, which I don't think most of us, you know, give that much thought to, since we grew up with it. If anything, the printing press is now being somewhat supplanted by the internet and all that, but the internet is also a game changer. Now, the question over here is, should Kabbalah be put out in public? That's it. And this turned out to be a big fight, one of many, many fights, especially in 16th century, that broke up about different rabbis in Italy. And maybe I'll be speaking about that a little bit later. One of many. And, you know, different opinions. And there was no such thing as the central chief rabbin of Italy or anything like that. And so just different people expressed their opinions. But they were very eloquent and articulate about it in print. And so, as I said yesterday, I'm looking at this wonderful piece that I always like from Simcha Asa. And he puts it together so well, where he points out, as I said yesterday, Boto is Man Atzma Nigzar Gzer Al Talmud, the same time in the late 1550s, when the Catholic Church was burning the Gemaras, Vesifri Aposkim Hayu Otluim Yisrael Heter, and nobody knew at that time, is the Church going to condemn more than just a Talmud? Because the Church was a bureaucratic institution, I mean, still is, and the orders came out to burn the Talmuds. So what do you call Rashi? What do you call a copy of Tosfos? What do you call a Rashba? What do you call a Tor or a Mishnah Torah, and so forth and so on? In other words, is this a decree on the entirety of rabbinic literature or just on the Talmud itself, bad as that would be? And so people didn't know exactly what's going on. Well, yes, that's from Hutlut Sensur Chamorah, and the Church said that any Hebrew book that they are going to allow to be published, like a Siddur or something like that, will have to be subject to a severe censorship, which they did. That's exactly when, in Mantua and Cremona and Sabbioneta, the three communities in central Italy, the biggest, of course, being our one of Mantua that I'm talking about these days, started publishing the Kabbalah books for the first time ever. I mean, publishing in the sense of putting out a printed edition. That famous work, Hofia Rishon Beferrara, in 1558. And then in Mantua, which we're talking about, first the Tikkuni Zohar and then the whole Zohar. As soon as this the news spread among the Jewish communities that they were beginning the process of putting together all stuff and to print it in books, Lachina Lidfus, and preparing everything that would go together with the printing, you know, proofreaders and manuscripts and all that stuff. Terem Yotzu L'Or, before the books were published, even, that is to say, before they you know, appeared printed, Nisor Pulmus Charif Misaviv Lozeh, a big fight broke out. A pulmus, which means a rabbinic debate. Nimsim Amil Masmilin, obviously there are people who are pro and people against. Mitzalim Milchavin, Mitzalim Charifim, and there were people who were enthusiastically for and passionately against. That's what makes it such an interesting parsha. And I repeat, this is something that this copy, which they ended up printing, is exactly what's on sale at the Gnosim auction, which is coming up, in 2 weeks, something like that, March 3 and March 5. So what were the reasons for the opponents? And there was a famous, the printer outlines for the readers. He put this in, like in front of the Tikkun Zohar, a letter in which he said, I know some people are against it. And quoting, he said, some people said they don't want the Kabbalah printed because it's a forgery. Plain and simple. Ki Amru, Ki Shimben, Mashit, Mi Rib Shimben Asher Navdenim. Who's this Shimben Yochai fellow anyway that we all have to bow down to? Tivchi Nosim Lidvar Libenu, and we have to pay attention to him. So, first of all, who makes Shimben Yochai the guy to give out, you know, all this stuff in the Zohar? The second of all, who says it's from him? Mi Bet and Mi Yotso Hayom Sefer Zohar. And who, from whose stomach did this come up? In other words, where did this come from? They're saying it's a forgery. Ashad Hainalo Neda Makomo. No one's heard about it. Nobody knows where it comes from. Makomo Ayo. Yeshivas Rabbani Tzfas Besfarad Lo Nisko Shmo. And you never hear about it in the yeshivas in Spain and in France. So this is reflective of the fact that even those who were into Kabbalah in the 1300s, 1400s, sort of segregated their lives between the yeshivas Nigla stuff, and their Nister varieties. That's why you hear about famous Gedolim here and there who were into Kabbalah but didn't talk about it. Or if they did, you know, they kept it very distinct. And so some people were against the spread of Kabbalah because they're against the spread of Kabbalah. I'm sure there's some people like that today. And this idea of Shimben Yochai, it reminds me that the Marshal is very famous in the 1500s. I'm trying to remember here. I think it was about putting on tefillin, sitting down or standing up. And, you know, Marshal and Ashkenaz said, you stand up. And he said, even if Shimben Yochai walked in here, we wouldn't listen to him because we didn't always paskin like him. And we follow our menhagim, the Ashkenazic menhagim. In other words, these attitudes, which nobody would talk like this today, at that time, they did. And the publisher is pointing this out. So he said, that's one group that's against the spread of this literature, the printing of its literature. Okay? Ain't tov l'adam yisefer yimei mispar yimei chayev asher nosu al kin kim lidrash v'lach kor havayis tabai rabba. Stick with the nigla, yeshivish. Stick with Gemara, havayis tabai rabba. Nigla, padinim, al pi atalman, bavli baposkim. That's one group, okay? In other words, this will lead yeshiva guys, quote unquote, away from what they should be spending their time on, which is shas and poskim. V'yeshim v'shi yeshivish sarab amro. And others, he says, are worse, more passionate in their opposition. Right? If you get into the Zohar, you can end up becoming, you know, false theology. Imagine that, okay? Now, obviously, they're referring to such things in the Zohar as the extreme anthropomorphism, the trinities you pop up here and there. Well, it's things that could be misunderstood. And therefore, they were opposed to his ever reaching print. And some were opposed, passionately opposed to printing this, because only a Bar Hochi should learn the Zohar. It's not that they thought it's baloney. The opposite. They thought it's Kodesh Kedoshim, but literally Kodesh Kedoshim. Only the Kohen Gadol, my friends, can go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. You see what I'm saying? Nobody's allowed into the Kodesh Kedoshim. As he calls it, the Chatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech. The Kotzer HaMasig, the Lomeg HaMusig. The material's too hard, and we're too dumb. Therefore, they're against that. See, I won't say a coalition, because they weren't united, but you have a whole variety of opinions opposed, and which made this all very unpopular. And then some of Kabbalim, Shane Rashus Lodim Legalis Storm Atikim, Advarma Amukim Ashemios, Minekene Hoyim, Stum Chasumin. Some people like Ramban. Because they were Mekabbalim, therefore they're opposed to this being in the public. It's bad enough that it's out in manuscript form. It's really supposed to be a secret, okay? It's supposed to be Stum Chasumin, Fechoch Nuel Brinish Tashta Pechna Avne Kodish Brosh Kolchutzes. You know, the language is interesting, right? Like from Eicha. to see this stuff, Baruch Kol Chutzis. In other words, what the heck is going on over here that people talk about Kabbalah? You're not supposed to even discuss this thing until you're Bahu, like the Mishnah says, you know. Echad Meir Shnayim Mishpacham. And these people are the Kabbalah themselves. Dvarim Sheh Kison Atikyom and Yalo Sisi Rekim Pokazim. Things that are only for the select few. Right? That the Atikyom, the Rabban Shalom hid away from Klal Yisrael. Except for the Yechidi school. It should be out there in the non-Yechidi school. Pokzim Rekim. Otayna Chesbipim. And some say, Kil Yosef Bizman Shagos Ramalchus Srefus HaTalmud. And some people are opposed to it for practical political reasons. Hey, buddy, it's 1559. The church is on a war path. They're burning all the Hebrew books. You're going to provoke them even more by publishing Kabbalah books? They'll take this as a chutzpah. That we're burning the Jewish books, and they got the chutzpah to publish brand new books. Heck with the Jews. Will burn all their books, like the Siddurim, the Chumashim, the Achzorim, and obviously everything else, and will be left with nothing. City Star is a bad move. Now, these people were totally wrong. I told you it was a screwball situation, which the Catholic Church had convinced itself that the publication of Zohar was a plus, and that it would lead the Jews to Christianity. I know it's not true, but I'm just saying that's what they said. And so, it's whoever was opposed to it for political reasons, which were just people, you know, they didn't understand the policy that you and I know today in hindsight, of the Catholic Church at that time, which was that they were talking not opposed to the publication of Zohar for their own insidious reasons. Okay? Hametzadim Sosa is Tainus at Misnagdim, and the guy who's publishing this and his buddies, who were the Italian rabbis who favored the publication of the Mantua Zohar, they responded to the criticisms, like Rabbi Yitzchak Delatus, who was a famous guy. And I think the Gnosis mentions him. He's pro Kabbalah. And he says, oh, the people who said what I just told you in the last 5 minutes, they said, wonderful pasuk from, what's his name? Who is that King Yehu? You know? In other words, Achav sinned a little, I'll sin a lot. Or what he means is, the people in previous generations sinned a little, and now these people are opposing Kabbalah, or say it's a forgery or something like that, they're sinning a lot. And we're not supposed to go too far in takonos. So I say to you, don't go too far in takolos, in bad things. And you guys, unwittingly perhaps, are worse than the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church wants to burn a certain amount of stuff. We want to put out there a certain amount of stuff. You're worse than the church. We're trying to spread Yiddishkeit, and you're trying to not to. Rabbi Mono ben Benuto, and one of the publishers, that was his name, and listen to this. Here's a very interesting argument from the pro team, which is, Dafka, now when the Gemaras are being burned, that's when we should put the Zohar up. Now that the Gemara, which was Machman Einenu, is being burned and taken from us, it's all being burned up. And we can't study Gemara by Rava. I told you yesterday, what was it like? I mean, it's terrible. It's like Fahrenheit 451. What was it like when there were no books? Or certainly no Gemaras? What do you do? There's no Mishnah, no Gemara, no nothing. What do you do with the rest of your day? But Poskim Einenu, and there are no poskim sparm around. Kisargo miskar, right? Because they locked them up. So I think that means either the Jews hid away the poskim books, like the Mishnah Torah, or the church confiscated them. Umiyo deim rov yamim ipaktu. Who knows if the church will ever let us buy them back. B'shalach Hashem b'chem los aleinum hasparm aleinum. And Dafka, at this time, we see it as a sign of divine favor that God has sent to us the Zohar to publish. At least we'll have a guiding light in this time of darkness. Because you got to admit that if the Rabban Shalom, who runs the world, has so organized things that for whatever reason the Catholic Church out of nowhere just turned on a dime and decided to burn all the Jewish books, leaving us, you know, blind or without any kind of help, And now the possibility is to publish the Zohar. It can't be a coincidence. It's got to be that Hashem is sending us a light in the middle of the darkness. Bo hayon v'yigarshom eish, klima potza b'yodom, v'kavaklach l'sinish anisha, v'lshiv shem shiris. The church is trying to burn out the last coals and extinguish Yiddishkeit by having us have no books. I repeat again, to have zero books. Zero books. So now we want to have a situation where it won't be zero books. It's not what we planned on. It's not what we wanted. We're not in favor of a situation, l'chadchila, there should be no Nigla and only Nister. We're not in favor there should be no Gemaras around and only Zohar. But it's definitely better than nothing. Right? In Gam Me'es Zen, they say, right? Misha Terasim Naso. If you tell me that anybody who's a learner, a Terasim Naso, is also going to be forbidden or not have access to the Zohar, to the Kabbalah stuff, what Hebrew books will he be able to spend his time studying? So basically, he's asking the question, if I landed you on a desert island with no books, you're from Guy, no books, you think it's a good idea that, you know, a Zohar should appear on the island from the shipwreck or something like that? Or you think it's a bad idea? Right? You think it's a good idea or a bad idea? You tell me you're not worthy of studying the Zohar. I get that. You think it's a good idea or a bad idea? Because if you don't, your mom must be stuck on a desert island with nothing to do. Actually, I'm wrong. It's not nothing to do. What she can do is read Geisha stuff. Ma yase, eze sefer yira yavin. What kind of from book will there be altogether? Lodas kovet Hashem v'hadar ga'ono. Bebokachio, or divrei yom shel melachim? Should he go and read the famous Decameron of Boccaccio? If you know what that is, shame on you. That's like the most famous Italian Renaissance novel, which is more or less X-rated, more or less. And it was very popular, of course. Those kind of books always are. It's a classic, the Decameron. And is that what somebody should be doing? No, let's put it this way. If you take away every Jewish book, you tell me there's no, you know, Zohar or anything like that, so what's the guy supposed to do? He'll read English books, including all kind of Italian stuff, including, you know, let's put it this way, you know, the X-rated, the R-rated, the G-rated, and so on and so forth. I mean, what do you expect somebody, Torasu Masa, somebody who has an intellectually active mind, who spent years studying Hebrew books, Gemaras, and things like that, what are you supposed to do with your time? You understand? So if we have the possibility of putting this out there, what's better, Boccaccio, or Divrei Yom Shamalachim, or Italian history books, you know, about wars of kings and stuff like that, as opposed to, as I said before, the Zohar. Valtani Shein Legalis Sesar Mamukin. What about the fact that those claim you shouldn't, you know, share with the Pope? Nister, Sesar Matikim. Guess what, buddy? They replied, the pro guys replied, there's been Kabbalistic stuff been published the last couple hundred years. Published not in the printing press, but in manuscript books. Hari Sifri HaRamban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, Rikanadi, Shora Mor, V'yod, Nizbizman. As a matter of fact, he's right. The Ramban, on the Chumash, for example, and Rabbeinu Bechaya knows, have been published in the late 1400s, early 1500s at different times and places. Bromberg and other people like that, Sansino, there's books on this stuff. Who is it? I told you, the golden oldie is David W. Amram, publishing of Hebrew books in the Renaissance Italy. I think that's the title of it. David Amram was the Talmud Muvik of Jastrow. He was a lawyer in Philadelphia. Wrote the book 120 years ago. The point of the matter is, there were, let's say you get Rabbeinu Bechaya, for example. You know, he talks about the different, you know, spheros and things like that. They've been out for a long time. Uksasim Nifrizu Kamapamim. And some have been republished. Vishlo Michal Bimapisin. How come nobody said like this? Don't publish the Ramban. Well, the Ramban never comes out with it openly. But you know what I mean? There were Kabbalistic texts, not Zohar, like Rabbeinu Bechaya and others, in which they discuss here and there, I don't know how deeply, Kabbalistic concepts. Ooh, why don't you say you shouldn't even publish this? Because it's Dvarim Shekiso Atik Yomin, and it's not for the public and all that stuff. You see? I mean, you're like out of date. Lo b'zil b'vadim nimsis from shame of balaim hoyu chayavim sreifa. I mean, it's like they're pretty same. And there have been other Sfarim that have been published out there, and nobody raised hell about them. I don't know what he's talking about, but I assume he means like Emmanuel of Roan, or the poems, you know, the erotic poems, which the Mechaber goes crazy about in Shin Zion, I think. Al King Yeshem Misnagim L'Nisarach Me'eba Kinter. So people are opposed to the Zohar over here, are doing it for unworthy reasons. Eva of a Kintur. Okay? Now, the opponents wrote back. You understand? Nech Besu Lichta Sitna Rosh Vishonah. The opponents weren't satisfied with these counter-arguments. And they wrote to the big Gedolim in Italy, especially what I would refer to as the Litvisha Gedolim. El Hamora Gedolim Memshalas Hayam Bevenetia Marim Padua. The main guy in Venice, or actually in Padua, you know, the Marim Padua, who was the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, a cousin with the Ramah, we've talked about him. And the Marim Padua put out an Isser. Right? So it's like you say today the Moetzis or something like that. That's not a good example, but you know what I mean? The big Rosh Yeshivas. So he put out excommunication, a nidoy, that you shouldn't publish this. And lohik b'marim b'tokal akim gzeirazu, but he wasn't fanatic about this. But luma zeh kosam read the latus, but the guy Rabbi Yitzchak the latus who was in favor of it. In other words, there's some rabbis who are now signing. They always do this. You know, you always hear this even today. Why'd this guy sign? They twisted his arm. So there were big rabbonim, and they didn't want to say against it, but they were under pressure, and that's why they signed the Kol Kori or something like that. So it went back and forth, okay? And what do you call it? And like I say, there are all kind of rabbis for it, against it. The most interesting one of the guys for it, in my opinion, is Moshe Provenzalo, which I'll talk about later, because we have his Shubas recently printed, not that long ago, his Shubas. Whatever the case is, it goes back and forth. Now, the whole letters we don't usually have, but Simcha Asa, years ago, found a whole letter from Yitzhak Finzi, who was the Finzi family, like Finzi Cantini, the famous Italian rabbinic family, Yisrael Yaakov Finzi, and that he published. And this was a real firm guy, and he was in principle against this. Now, obviously, his opinion didn't prevail, but it's interesting the way he approaches it. And he says, this is, again, Yisrael Yaakov Finzi, and he says, "Kano kanesi Hashem Torah sekadosha, Torah sekabob." I'm a kanoi in favor of the Kabbalah. Now he's against printing it. Harimusa biat pritzim, which has now been crushed by pritzim, meaning you're pulling it out. Vayelvaluha legionus lahadfisam b'shvakim rechokus lefnei anoshim rekim kikli shiram mazam beam umos. You're going to put it out in the street and put it in the public domain. It's going to be like zmiros that are out there in the Italian theaters. Okay? And I can tell you, he says, that the Zohar itself in Shemayim is putting on sackcloth and complaining to Rabban Shalom that people downstairs are doing an outrageous thing and putting in the print. So you see, it's very complicated. It wasn't simply people are anti-Kabbalah or anything like that. Some of these people were very big Kabbalah. But on the other hand, they were very offended by putting it out in the street, right? Putting it out in the street, but no, making it in public. The Kaimelon reason to Longlis Kasi El Mechse Chakla Kadisha. It should only be people who are into the Chakla Kadisha, the sacred groves, meaning the real Mekabalim. And they access it through the manuscripts. Soda Hashem Li Reyov, as it says in the Zohar itself. And he quotes Tosus in Avodah Zorah. Right, and Shonim and Rekabah, and the famous one we know, you and I know, in the beginning of the second period of Chagiga, Ain Shonim and Rekabah Yochidim, Kin Chacham Mev Midaito, you know that. And my Mazar Balesim and Arach, Shailuk Baderech, Shim Rabbah, remember, and he got in and he starts saying, Kabbalah stuff, and it was the real thing, and the angels surrounded it. It was a scary business. In Cain, Ein Lefazim Lefein Anashim Reikin. So don't spread it among Anashim Reikin. That's you and I. Okay? Kamosha Pesh Ramban, Pesh Abba Shalom. Now, we don't have the, as far as I know, we don't have Pesh Ramban and Perkios, but he did, right? When it says, Dishtamish Betaga Chalach. It's very nice. Whoever uses a crown will be killed. So usually they say, you shouldn't use the Torah as a, you know, as a source of money and pride and that sort of thing. And apparently the Ramban said, you use the crown, meaning the Kabbalah, right? Mishtamish batar shal bris b'machem asher kagon b'ni b'shivcha b'agayu zon ha'cholof. That whoever, you know, uses the crown, meaning the Nister stuff, right? Asma Shemeh, if you can tell what the secrets of the Osas and the Torah and all that stuff is, that should be put out there. And the Ramban himself, as you know, was a big mekubal. Gam de defus yavi adam lasik b'kabal b'chidi. And here comes something very, very interesting to me. If it comes out in a book form, a person will study Kabbalah in an untraditional manner. The traditional manner was never to learn it by yourself. Always do it with a chavrusa. I imagine they mean a Rebbe, but at least always do it with a chavrusa. Never do it by yourself. And apparently, to read it by yourself, which of course the publication in book form allows, was considered like a big problem for him. Okay? And all kind of unworthy people get it. You shouldn't learn Kabbalah without chavrusa. And you got to be middle-aged. And you have to have good midas. You have to be a tzenuva and a hagun. And if you're not at those things, then it's wrong and it's harmful to study this stuff. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you something. It's interesting today. How many young people are into Kabbalah? So a lot, you know, right or wrong, whether they know what they're talking about. Kai Lishnan, the Shinim Sefer B'Tochen, Shel Rabbi Yehuda Masera. And then he has some story. I don't know where this comes from. That it says, Yirmiyob, Ol B'Shalom, the prophet Jeremiah, Hayosik B'Sefer Yitzir Levado. The prophet Jeremiah used to learn Sefer Yitzir, which was a Kabbalah book in his time. We're talking about Yirmiyob, a Navi. Without a chavrusa, Yotza by himself. Yotza Bas Kol, v'amartel k'nei lo chavr. So apparently, Abbas Kol said, get a chavrusa. Halachitzel, Sira b'no. You know, Ben Sira is supposed to be the son of Yirmiyahu, according to tradition. So he went to learn with his own son. Ben Hizaska b'sefer gimelshon, and they learned Sefer Yitzir for 3 years. L'kayim masha nemer oznib b'yir se'shem yishol re'u. It was a chavrusa. L'sof gimelshonim kishirotz l'tzar for alpha basis. When they started to want to use the stuff that they learned in the Sefer Yetzirah, they made a golem, and on the forehead of the golem, that's my word, they put Hashem Elkeichem Emes, right? And the guy had a knife. And he erased from the word emes. It just left mace. Right? Nisha masha kar yamiyoz. Nisha mace. And so he dropped dead. Kar yamiyoz. In other words, so the experiment was busted. It was bad. The creature they made died. Why did you do that? Right? And Amarlo, Emshal Moshal Domer, I'll tell you Moshal. The Banoi Echad Shoyabonet, Kama Botim, Kama Dragas, Kama Groshos. Somebody was a big builder, like we'd say to a real estate development. Floy Adam Margishim Nasa Klaal. Nobody else knew how to do it. Floy Dakto, below Mlachtob. They didn't know how to go about doing this. And then some people seduced him, talked him into teaching him real estate development. And the guys who learned from learned it correctly. And when they knew real estate development, guess what? my name Camoso. They got in an argument and they went into business for themselves. That's obviously was their opinion plan in the first place. And they undercut him in price. And as a result, this guy went broke because all the customers left him and went to the new guys. Kach, that's the mashal. Kach, Baruch Hu Eschem, B'tzelem, Udumus, Tzura. Hashem created human beings in a certain way. Shatem Barasim, Udumus. Now you're trying to make other people, what I call a golem. People say like this. You don't need Hashem to make human beings. People can do it if they know to say for Yetzirah. Like we would say today, if they can clone, you know, the science now getting it, but they can clone everything, you don't need God. Right? That's what the problem is. Armalo, Yermio, my Takante came. So what should I do? Kiss off a basil, my Freya Bosa offer, Hanizra, Bekavonis Lababchem, Baltara, Bem Derch, Kavod, Batikun, Kimakala, my Freya, Piasugam Haim, and that's the Arnold's name of her wafer. Reverse what you did without going through all the details and make this golem into offer wafer instead of the other way around. Piasa, Mia Bamasain. Or eliminated Ladvorim, Elated Koch, Grosso, Balaam, Lolasas, Shani, Lotumla, Shanemar, Lotumadlasas. Basically, this is a classic story. I never heard of don't get in the Kabbalah stuff because you're working above your pay grade. You understand? And if somebody like Yirmiyahu, who was a Navi, could mess up like this, so then the idea is that the regular people should definitely stay away from him. Ain Lachazilzu, Pisar, Nigla, Yosef, Mianas, Nashim, Hamapisim, Sivri Kabbalah. Because then, that's the sin of those who are printing this book. I'm talking about the book that's up in the Gnos catalog. He oz hula hula vaz if they call zorm a come for some. Then it'll be not held. Let's put it this way. Now people think it's the Zohar, the Kabbalah. Just to hear that word sends that tzitter. You understand? That's the way it's supposed to be. He said, and you know, I myself, I remember there was a guy I ran to many years ago. I won't talk about the circumstances, and he said his father was a real firm guy back in old Baltimore, and I don't know, I mean, it's before my time. And I remember having dinner with Selvashan, told me he knew the old man way back when, you know, like in the 40s, whatever, and 30s, 40s. He said, oh, he was a real firm guy and all that. And if you ever used the word Kabbalah, he would shake and shudder. Right? Shake and shudder. That's the old school. That's the way it's supposed to be. Niggle is one thing. Nister? Woo. Now today, for example, Kabbalah is every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm not even talking about the non-frum. That's a separate issue. But you know, you can go in any farm store and get anything Kabbalistic ideas. And some are better, some are worse. And it's not that big of a deal. You understand? It's a question of whether you have an atiyah towards it or not, or whether you take to it or you don't take to it. But it's not like, oh my goodness, he's using Nistar and all the rest of them. And the person who's writing this letter, Yisrael Yaakov Finzi, saying, no, but the way it's supposed to be is like when Yirmiyahu's on, you're supposed to titter and shake and stand back from these sacred things. Not put them out there that everybody should see and nobody has any. It's like the guys who now go into real estate business, and the old guys are not respected anymore. So you guys who are publishing these books are like people going into real estate business and undercutting the guy who taught you. And anyway, and he goes on to say, so you see, it was a whole world of argumentation back and forth. Ulai tikshe lai lomar shi kvar dvarm shabal pehutru lakosam eslas Hashem. Hey, don't we say that even the nigla was really supposed to be not put on paper, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did it because Esau asked Hashem, right? And Ravina Ravashi and all these other people. So, Ein Daiti Bekach, Sha'asu Likosu. So, our hero, Yisrael Yaakov Finzi says, I never said the Kabbalah stuff can be written down on paper. I never said, we the opponents of printing this in a printing press, never said you can't have it, everybody has to memorize it literally. You can have your own notes and manuscripts and things like this, provided they're kept away from the public. They shouldn't be shared with the public that's unprepared for this stuff. That's the way it's been now for a couple hundred years. People have, especially since the coming of the Zohar out of obscurity, Moshe de Leon, people have written on Kabbalah stuff, and they pass among the cognoscenti. They pass between those who are Roy Lakach, and the rest of the Velt doesn't even know anything about it. And that's the way it's supposed to be. For the Harula, the Lasik Bob, they don't show it to everybody. And they only share with people Roy Lakach, which means you know the Nigla first. The Yuris Hashem, right? Belam and a Kabbalah Ishmi P. Ish. And you learn it from a Rebbe. Everybody knows, and listen to this, that the whole meaning of Shem ben Yochai, according to him, is that the stuff was transmitted to him by the Rebbeinu Shalom in the cave. Right? He holds that he learned it all in the cave. You know, he was hiding. And the meaning of learning in the cave is it should be transmitted privately. You see? And so he goes on and on and on. I'll just share a little bit more. Even though the letter is actually several pages long, but I won't do that because I want to get the basic ideas across. And I regard this critic as a high-minded, not a sore loser or anything like that. I think you'll agree with me.
And don't give me this business that we've already published a number of mafarshim from the Chumash, for example, that have Kabbalistic stuff in them.
Like Rikanadi and Ramban, it's not the same thing as the Zohar. Rakhem Bavuim, Mevim Ladaitum, Dibur, Mafarshim was Diburim. You can also presume he says, "B'chach masbovin shel kashman."
This is like Hasidic literature. If you look, for example, Rabbeinu B'chai, you have snippets of Kabbalah, which are interpreted for you, the reader, in a safe way. You know what I'm saying? One of the problems of Kabbalah is you'll misunderstand it, and interpret it wrong, and go off the derech. But if you read one of the famous things about Sifri Hasidus is that they, in their unique way, you know, have Kabbalistic stuff in them, but the Rebbes were always able to, first of all, they have a certain amount, not the whole thing, and second of all, they explain them for the Hasidim and for the readers in what is a safe way. In other words, let's put it this way. All joking aside, nobody's going off the derech from reading the Tanya or Sfas Emes or, you know, or Tzadik, or any of those kind of things. Even if they have a lot of Kabbalistic stuff in them. Because it's not straightforward. And second of all, when everything they explain, obviously they're not going to explain some kind of Shabtai Tzvi type way. Obviously they're not going to explain some kind of Upper Kursus type way. And so it's like smoking with a filter. You understand? So that's different. You read a Rikanati, if you read a Ramban or something like that, to the degree that he discussed this stuff, or Bein Bechai or whoever, the snippets that they discuss are, so to speak, filtered through their pirushim in such a way, shelo yuchal mikashal b'hem, ki pirushim b'mfarshlei. But if you take the Zohar straight, you take your whiskey straight, with no chaser, with no filter, and you give it an unadulterated fashion, those you want adulterated, if the adulterator is, you know, the Vilna Gaon, or the Alter Rebbe, or, I don't know, you know, Sfas Emes, or one of those types. You understand? That's okay. But to do it unadulterated is dangerous. Avol hatfi sefer, a Kabbalah, kulam yuchedes, right? But to write a whole thing like the Zohar, ma'areches elohos, tikunim, and some of these other original works, ovetzibri Kabbalah, lo ola b'leib shum adam lasas ha-ra ha-gadol ha-zos, yikshum kovet Hashem, lo kovet Hashem hester dover. That would be 1462. I have a manuscript copy. Dvarim Shebiksavi to Rashem Lekosvam. Dvarim Shebal Peh. He has a mistake in the print here. Shouldn't be written down. Yir Mezal Chachmas Kabbal. In his opinion, he thinks it's Tamach Chachmas Kabbal. So anyway, I think you get the general idea of what I'm talking about, which was, it's a very complex intellectual and religious position, set of positions involved over here. There were arguments, serious arguments, in favor of publishing the Zohar. And they went ahead and did it. There are also serious arguments, sober arguments, not by hotheads, but by serious people who think it's a wrong idea. It goes against Jewish tradition. It's not the right way to do it. The results will be bad, and so on and so forth. Not that they didn't hold for Kabbalah, they did. But not this particular method. So it's somewhat similar, not exactly, but somewhat similar to saying today, are you in favor? You watch a TV show with Madonna explaining Kabbalah or something like that. That's ridiculous. That doesn't mean you're anti-Kabbalah, but you say, you know, Madonna ain't the way to go. You see? That's how they thought printing it was. Now here we are hundreds of years later. Were they right? Were they wrong? You could tie it this way, you could tie it that way. What, by that I mean the whole Shabtai Tzvi and Frank wouldn't have started without Zohar. But having said that, you know, most people would say like this, you know, the spread of Kabbalah has made people more frum, generally speaking. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, it's like I say, no one's ever, I don't know, what's the right word? Made a survey, done any kind of social research on this. So it's interesting to judge what the effects are. Now, again, there were arguments in favor. And that I intend to do next time. Even by people who are not into Kabbalah. But remember the times that we're talking about. It was right in the middle of a book holocaust. That's actually an appropriate word, because holocaust means burning. And they're burning all these Hebrew books. And for some screwball reason, meaning by Catholic Cheshbonis, they're willing to make an exception for the Kabbalah books, especially the unadulterated Zohar. Where did this lead? And what were the results? And in Italy, for example, to ask the question, I'm not sure we have the exact answer, which is what did people do when the Gemara was all burned? I mean, what did it mean to run yeshivas? Like I suggested, that a lot of it was like you learn riff and things like that, which is an interesting limud. It's not the Gemara that you and I do today. They had no choice. And now you throw into the Zohar part, which never did enter the curriculum of the yeshivas, but clearly was very widespread among the Bachrim, like on their own. Now we're touching on other material. So again, I emphasize that I'm doing this because the Genazim, that's Genazim, Genazym, not Zimzyn. If you go online, just Google that word, you'll see it. They actually have a copy, which they say is in perfect shape, with new fancy covers and all that, of this very controversial Zohar. And I'm sure if it's a Renaissance publishing, probably the letters are beautiful and all the rest of it. All you need is 50 or 100K. Well, you know, why not? But if you're interested in this very controversial, what's the right word? Physical set, because it was a set of books that came out, here's your chance to get it. As I said, it's a widespread and very complicated subject, and I'm only scratching the surface as I always do. If you're interested, you can chase it down on your own. But meanwhile, I'll close it down over here, and as I said before, thank Gnozin for sponsoring this, and we'll pick this up next time.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.